Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Oh my God, it feels like Christmas morning. We finally got the boat trip episode. Oh my God. I've been waiting a lifetime for a moment like this, just like Kelly Clarkson sang to us so peacefully years ago. I thought it delivered. Of course, we didn't get as much footage as I would have hoped of the actual boat trip, but I still thought it was fantastic tension, dramatic tension. There was drama, there was laughs, there was action, set pieces. It was so, so good. So we're going to talk with Lauren Zima, who you guys know from Entertainment Tonight. She's also a huge Housewives fan. She's going to come out and we're going to break down the episode scene by scene, because this episode warrants that. This episode, I mean, we literally had Luann's Jinx moment at the end of the episode where she said she shit the bed and left it.
I left them the ultimate gifts.
Well, oh, yeah.
Oh, God, Luann.
Oh, God. What, in the toilet, you mean?
No, on the bed.
Oh.
As they were leaving Cartagena, Luann admitted on a microphone that she shit the bed. And, you know, if that's not worthy of a scene-by-scene analysis, then I don't know what is. So before we bring out Lauren, I just want to say we are Whitney-less today. So unfortunately, Whitney had another gig. She couldn't be here. But Lauren and I are going to break down the episode. And before we do, I have to mention one thing that happened to me this week that was very triggering that I want to share as a cautionary tale. So you guys know I love Newlyweds, and Joe Simpson is always on my brain. He's always in the back of my head, just like waiting to crop up. And I was in CVS recently, and I was waiting in line behind this straight couple that they were one of those couples that was doing PDA in front of me, which normally makes me uncomfortable. You know, when people are waiting in line and they're like wrapped in each other's arms and it's really gross. Well, they were doing that, but they were also having a conversation about Joe Simpson. And so I'm listening, of course I'm eavesdropping, as one does in line at CVS. And I was hearing them talk about Joe Simpson. And I usually consider myself an expert on Joe Simpson. You know, like I know about him. Of course, we all know Joe from Newlyweds. He was the mastermind behind that show, Nick and Jessica. And he also produced the Ashley Simpson show. And they were talking about him in reference to baseball. And I was like so confused. I'm thinking, did I miss a shift in Joe Simpson's life? Like I thought maybe I missed, you know, one of his transitions, because of course, years ago, he transitioned from this family dad manager to this man who was very fashion forward. I don't know if fashion forward's the right word, but he was definitely fashion something, fashion, shocking fashion, a shock jock of fashion. Anyway, and he did like a new hairstyle and he was photographing like young male models. I remember he was on Vanderpump Rules photographing Tom Sandoval. I mean, he went through a shocking shift from the Newlyweds days. And so I thought maybe I just missed something. Like maybe he got into sports somehow. And I thought that's what they were talking, because they were talking as if it was breaking news. Something happened with Joe Simpson. So I'm listening, listening. Of course, I decided to jump in because I think they're talking about my Newlyweds patriarch. And so I jump in and I was like, oh my God, I just rewatched Newlyweds. You know, I'm like bragging to these people as they're like wrapped in each other's arms, you know, entangled into each other. I'm like, oh my God, I just rewatched Newlyweds. You guys, it's so good. And then I was shamed like I've never been shamed before. The female that was wrapped in her lover's arms, she said, no, she said, we're talking about Joe Simpson, the sports broadcaster, not Joe Simpson, Jessica and Ashley's dad. And I've never been more shamed. And that includes the time that my housekeeper found gay porn and Miss Piggy's version of Santa Baby on my computer.
So hurry down the chimney tonight.
I mean, I was so ashamed. This girl, she literally acted like she just shamed me right then and there. She just said, actually, we're talking about a sports broadcaster. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm talking about Joe Simpson of Newlyweds fame. So back up, girl. Like she was just so nasty and so rude.
So nasty and so rude.
In the words of NeNe Leakes. But I just want to warn you guys that apparently, allegedly, there's another Joe Simpson out there parading around in making headlines. And you know what? It makes me sad because I want the other Joe Simpson making headlines. I don't want this new one taking the fame away. I want the original Joe back in the spotlight. So I just want to warn you guys, apparently there's someone else masquerading around town who's a little bit famous, and I won't stand for it. So I want to talk about New York. Let's bring Lauren Zima out here. She is fantastic and she's beautiful and she's waiting in the wings. So I'm so excited to bring her out and talk all things Roni. All right, let's bring Lauren out here. You guys, I'm here with Lauren Zima. Oh my God, I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so excited I'm here. Thank you for having me. Yes. We have been tweeting and then we finally met at the best place I've ever met someone in real life. Countess and Friends here in LA. What a moment to meet each other in person.
Oh my God, I know, Lauren. That night I told this story a million times, but I got so drunk that night. But it was so nice to see you. You were with another friend of the show, Leslie Grossman.
Yes. Bryce Sander from ET as well. Yes. It was just such a night for people with real passions to come together and we all came together.
And all my bookings come from that show. It's like everyone... like, come on the podcast.
That show set you up. You're scheduled for the next year. What a night.
And so you, of course, are a reporter for Entertainment Tonight. Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing Entertainment Tonight?
I've been there for about 3.5 years, and I love it so much, and I'm addicted to my job.
Right, and you do all sorts of pop culture stuff, but mm-hmm. you're known for being a Bachelor expert, right?
I do a lot of Bachelor coverage, and there is so much to cover. We have Bravo, and then Bachelor Nation in itself is an entire world full of lore and history.
Right. I want you to sort of sell me on it later. So we're going to talk about that later, but we have to get to this episode.
Oh my God.
Ah! I'm so excited.
I am deeply shaken.
It was the episode we've all been waiting for, right? Like this boat trip from hell. I feel like we've been theorizing about it endlessly online and we've been waiting for it. We've seen little bits and previews of it. And
little photos of Ramona in a wheelchair.
The Cartagena trip has just been endlessly fascinating. I mean, last week with that dinner party with Dorinda. Mm. We came off that dinner party where Dorinda had just had the makeup smeared like the Joker and she was smoking a cig and like that's where we last left off. And then we opened this episode and I was so thrilled before we even got to anything, right? I was like, oh my God, we came off this iconic episode and now we're going to get to the boat trip.
Yes. So, what I loved was that we opened this episode with, they had talked about the old guard and we opened the episode with the old guard, Bethany right. and Sonia and Ramona at breakfast. And I could not believe how quickly things spiraled.
They're tired.
They need a minute. Right. They need a coffee, but no.
I'm always fascinated by these trips, how it's like these women drink so much and like, I can't drink like that anymore. I mean, they're much older than I am and it's like the amount that they can consume and then film the next day. Like I would be under the covers. I'd be like, fuck you guys. Like I'm not filming the rest of the week.
I always think of the 10,000 hour rule with them. Like, you know how they say you get perfect at something if you've practiced, like they've just been practicing this yeah, for so true. Long.
It's true. I guess your tolerance just goes
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Don't be hard on yourself. They work at it.
Yeah. So we open at breakfast and there's a lot of close-ups on the food. And I think that's because we're going to see something to come, which I mean, we watched the episode, so we know there's like some food issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed throughout this whole trip, there's like a lot of food focus, which always when they go to dinner, we always get them ordering. Like they leave that in.
Yeah.
But this episode and the episode before, it's like there's a lot of close-ups of food. So it was like I knew that some food poisoning was coming.
Interesting. I have a theory on that only for this, which is that the house is garbage. And so yeah. They don't have a lot of beautiful bathrooms or beautiful bedding to look at. We know that the floor is dirty. So in order to make it seem very vacation-y and exotic, they just got to keep zooming in on paella and empanadas. I mean, would you stay in that house?
I wouldn't want to, especially not if I was on TV.
I have to say, I agreed with Bethany when she said, yeah. When you go on vacation, when they went to Mexico, you walk out, you see the water. But I will say that I'm glad they've been trapped in this house because it's really given us the drama.
It has given us everything. You are so right. It's like, I would be upset if I was Bethany too, because it's like, we're filming for a reality show, which we know the purpose of a vacation on a reality show is supposed to be that lifestyle porn, right? It's like to showcase a place that, an exotic location that other people can't get to. So arriving at that house, it's like, I don't know.
They're trapped in the city amongst these cobblestone streets.
Yes. You know, what was also very sad to me was that, you know, we open on this breakfast and there was just that big heart from Tinsley's boyfriend, Scott, just in the background. It was like the saddest sight.
Because it does look like a funeral arrangement. Leanne was right. And the letters aren't even really even and they're sort of off and the proportions are wrong. Tinsley's reaction to that, which would you say you would... want to watch more or less her crying over the eggs or her reaction to that flower or when Scott surprised her.
Oh my God. I want to watch them all equally. I love Tinsley, what she's giving us this season. I think it's like very fun. She's fresh and she's like the right amount of crazy. Like I don't feel like she's over. I think she is like a little nuts, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think she's overboard territory, right? It's nuttier than we are.
I love, maybe not. Yes, I think it's embodied in her looks. Like they're just a little off, you know, like why did she come to breakfast without pants or a dress on? Why was she wearing a smoky eye first thing in the morning? And it's just a little bit nuts. Like the suit is cute. The outfit's cute. It's maybe a little bit wrong for this time of day.
Right.
As Luann said, quote, can we just get to the island?
I know. So let's just go back. So they're at this breakfast and, Ramona says, now it's all coming back to me, all the highs and lows from last night. And she's trying to sort of stir the pot. And then, you know, the other girls start to file and Tinsley comes, Carol gets there. And then Luann is saying, does she remember? Does Dorinda remember what she said to me last night? And I was just thinking, I don't think she does.
I was going to ask. There's no way.
I don't think Dorinda
Especially knows. Because Luann pushed her on it. And that was very near to when she walked away.
Yes.
But you could so see the very real pain between the two of them. I mean, I think that Dorinda was there for Luann more than we even know because right. we didn't see her calling and I guess, you know, lighting a candle at church and all those things. So I do think she was really there for Luann. And so even though the things she said were mean, I think that she just felt she didn't. I saw the pain on both sides.
Right.
Are you siding with one person?
You know, I normally side with Dorinda on most things, but. And I don't think she was completely off base, but I think she just went, she goes too hard when she gets like that. And I agree that she shouldn't, no one should get like that when they're drunk. It's like, maybe you shouldn't drink then if you're going to get that aggressive when you're drunk. Mm-hmm. And it just happened one too many times where it's like, oh, Dorinda, it's not a good look on you.
Well, and you know what the problem with Luann's approach was? You're not going to get anywhere when someone is, quote, starting to turn.
Right.
For her to say, Dorinda, you're starting to turn. What did she think Dorinda was going to do? Say, oh, you're right. I'm going to put this drink right down. That wasn't going to happen.
Ramona had it right. She's like, just leave her alone. Mm-hmm. Like, let her be.
Is it not insane to you how right Ramona has been in recent episodes?
Lauren, you are preaching to the converted. I love Ramona so much. And so I'm just so happy that she's on the right side of history throughout this season. Like, she's been doing well. She's ensuring her spot for next season. Like, I'm just so happy with Ramona's performance this entire season. I think she's funny. She's gotten in the drama enough, but she's sort of stayed out of it enough. And, you know, I always say I want her on my TV for the rest of time. And so I always worry every season. I'm like, is she going to go overboard? Because she's been close.
Oh, I mean, she is, as she says, ageless and she is timeless. And I want her on my television. I never thought I would see this side of Ramona, truly. And I was okay with the other sides of Ramona,
right,
with the angry phone calls with Bethany, all that. But she has just been so playful and she has been right. I mean, yes, you should tell someone if you have a serious fish allergy.
Yeah. Also at this breakfast, did you catch the hashtag conversation between Lou and the rest of the girls where...
Oh my God, speaking of our show.
Lou said it was her hashtag.
How do you feel about... her being upset when people use the Countess thing against her. I think if you're going to call yourself Countess, you have to be ready for people to throw back at you.
Right. 100%. It's like, if you want this to be your stage name, that's like, then people are going to give you shit about it. I loved how Carol said, she's like, Lou was talking about how Queen Latifah is not a queen and Lady Gaga is not a lady. And then Carol just quietly said, well, those are their stage names.
Well, like, Luann has taken to the stage.
Yeah, she's taken to the stage now. And so it is part of her. And I think people are allowed to give her shit about it. So I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. And then Dorinda just walks in. And at first, Dorinda walks in as sort of nothing happened, right? Like she strolls on in and it's like, you could see on her face, she's just like happy. She's like, oh, let's get some breakfast. And then she does what Dorinda does best, which is go from 0 to 60. Like Luann sort of says one little thing like to Dorinda about what she said last night. And then Dorinda just goes to 60.
To 120. That skills at the top of a resume.
My math was off. My math was off. It's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't even know how she's awake at this point. Like how drunk she was the night before. I don't know how she's awake.
Do you think she maybe was still a little bit drunk?
Yeah. I think we've all been there.
We've all been there.
Which that's usually the only way I could function after drinking so much the night before. It's like if I'm still drunk the next morning, then I can keep going.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing to see... just again, the very real pain there. I was watching it and thinking they both want to make up with each other, but they are both very stuck in being right on this one.
Yeah.
It was intense.
Yeah, it was very intense. And then Dorinda said, I almost got arrested for you. Do we know what that was about?
We need to know.
Like, what was that? I don't know if maybe I just missed it. Like,
I think she was referring to maybe when she saw Tom once and she was like yelling at Tom or maybe getting thrown out. Arrested seems like a reach, but
yeah, I do remember that. Like, she confronted Tom in a public place and it was reported on, but was that, maybe that's what she meant.
I don't know.
But Dorinda also, like, she throws out these more broad terms or accusations or whatever. And, like, she kept saying her and Luann have known each other for 12 years. And I was like, I don't think you have. Like, I'm a historian of these shows. And I remember when Dorinda came on, and I know she knew Ramona before, but even with that relationship, I felt like it was played up that they knew each other better than they actually did. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think Ramona and her had a connection before Dorinda joined the cast, but I don't think they were, like, besties. But I didn't remember ever there being, like, a Luann and Dorinda connection.
It has a little bit come out of left field.
Like, 12 years is not accurate, right?
Well, I do wonder, New York is so small.
Yeah.
And I wonder, okay, did you know of or know each other maybe that far back? But I would be interested, and I hope it comes out at the reunion, even though Luann won't be there, to really get into exactly how much Dorinda was there for her during all of this rehab stuff. You know, because remember, Dorinda was really the only one also defending her with the Tom thing, like going to the wedding and being a bridesmaid and being supportive. So she's been there for her a lot over the past 2 years.
Right, and that's one of the things that bothered me when Bethany started getting involved in this breakfast.
Oh, I can't.
Like, it bugged me because I just thought, you know, Dorinda didn't really get involved when Bethany was going after Luann all those times. So it's like, it's just sort of annoying. And I know Bethany was sticking up for a friend, but I don't know. Where do you stand on the Bethany Carol stuff?
I am liking Carol less and less with each episode this season. And I hate to say that because I used to like Carol. And this episode, when Bethany got involved and then Carol started coming at Bethany for getting involved, there was a moment where Bethany was right. Carol had been speaking to Luann off to the side. I am siding with Bethany more and more. I'm really doing a slow change. How do you feel?
You know, I'm team Carol on everything, but I know most of the people that I hear from, they're team Bethany. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of my judgment is clouded because of, I always say people send me information or like tell me things, like either people that work on the show or work with these women or, you know, just general people that have met them in at different points. And I've just never heard anything good about Bethany. Like, I've always heard just kind of the worst stories about her. So I think my judgment is a little off with that. And again, I think Bethany makes the best reality TV. I just rewatched her spinoffs and I loved them.
Mm. Oh, Bethany Ever After.
But yeah, and I've only heard good things about Carol. So it's like, I think it clouds my judgment. But also in the fight between Carol and Bethany, I don't feel like I've seen Carol say anything that bad about Bethany, but I've seen Bethany say some pretty nasty things about Carol. And then, one more thing. I'm sorry.
No, there's a million more.
I've had too much coffee, you guys.
With this episode? Settle in. We're going to be over 10 hours.
Sit down.
Call us tomorrow. We're missing.
Pull over. Bethany's social media, I've talked about this endlessly on the show too. Her Instagram stories depress me.
They are out of control.
And they're out of control. And so I always think, like, when she sits and says that Carol's obsessed with her social media or something.
When you click through on a story and you get to Bethany and you see like 35 to 40 little notches at the top, I've got a swipe.
And they're all like her onion rings that she ate or something. It's like,
I will say that I've interviewed Bethany probably 3 or 4 times. I've been to her house in the Hamptons. I've been to her New York apartment to interview her there after her health scare. And then I did a home tour of her Hamptons house with her. The vibe that I get from Bethany is,
I'm on the edge of my seat right now. I am on the edge of my seat. Everyone else is too.
I did a tour with Luann at her house in the Hamptons and Ramona.
Okay, tell us more.
So, and I have to say, one of my greatest regrets, I was supposed to do a tour of Sonia's Great Gardens Mansion with her and of Dorinda's house, but I was unavailable for both. And I don't know what I was thinking. I should have canceled my trip with my mother for her birthday.
Yeah.
So Bethany gives me the vibe of someone who does have a lot going on. That is what is nuts to me is, I think what my issue with Carol is, with each episode, I feel her reasoning for why things aren't working with her and Bethany has gotten less and less valid. She said this episode, well, I can't always text you back, Bethany. And as Bethany said, what does she think? She has nothing going on. When I met Bethany at her houses, she was lovely to me, very polite. She's got a lot going on. There's a bunch of people there. Yeah. From our interview, she's got to go to another one right away. She doesn't maybe have time for the small talk to no end, but she was lovely and kind and welcoming and very professional. And she's got a $1 million business and a kid in a custody battle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some of it too, it's like, I think it's all that stuff that she has going on is coming into the show. And because the show doesn't want to break the fourth wall and say too much about what Bethany has going on outside, I feel like all of the things that Bethany is doing is being blamed on Carol. Mm. And I feel like that's just all around kind of messier, because it's like we're putting all of this fight, all of Bethany's sort of breakdown in Cartagena and all this, it's on Carol. And I think there's a lot more to her life that's going on.
Well, and when Carol started saying Bethany's 12 years old and she can't take all the crying all the time, like she just doesn't have time for it.
But wait, don't you think though, when Carol said that you were just texting me so much and I didn't have time, I kind of thought Bethany probably did text a lot, because look at her stories. She probably is one of those people that texts like crazy. And then
she probably is. But I do think there was a precedent set. I think they got very close very fast. And then maybe Carol sort of wanted to back away a little bit, because she had her own stuff going on, you know, the breakup with Adam. I also get the vibe from Carol that maybe she is someone who isn't very emotional and doesn't get super vulnerable, especially when you've been through a massive loss. I think you know what very real loss is, and so you don't get super emotional about smaller things. But maybe Carol really wanted Bethany to be there for her more with the Adam thing, but Bethany didn't know that, you know?
Right, 100%.
Carol's a little closed off with that. The thing is, I think what's frustrating as a viewer is you're watching it thinking, they can work this out.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I just want to scream at the TV and I want to put them in a room together, and that they're both sitting here saying, like, it's a death of a friendship.
Right. One of the things that sort of the silver lining of all this is that it is such compelling TV. Mm. And I think like seeing a real relationship, even though it is frustrating, like you said, to watch it dissolve, it's like it's a real thing going on versus some of the reality shows like Beverly Hills. We don't really see this kind of stuff.
100%. Beverly Hills' biggest problem.
So it is super, super compelling. And I think, you know, that's great. But it's also dividing the fandom, right? Like, I've never seen the fandom of Housewives so divided before over this Carol versus Bethany. I feel like there is two sides to this. And
Carol's statement also made me side with Bethany more.
Yeah.
I thought that it was just brimming with shade, and she really sort of threw the show back in its face. And I'm like, you were on this show for several seasons.
Totally, yeah.
And now you're saying that you've got to be something that more fits your temperament and, quote, next period?
Well, you know, Carol's blogs, which I've talked about, they were so great. Like, there was a couple blogs this season that were like amazing reads, but they were also like very nasty towards Bethany. And I thought, oh, this is like, it's not, I don't think it's helping you. Like, I love to read it, but I don't know if it's helping, because like before we thought of Carol as this person that was like above all the drama, and then now we're getting into the nitty gritty of it. And she's like, you know, but I will say that I heard from some people that it was Bethany going to production and saying, her or me, like, I'm not doing the show next season with her around. So I think there could be some truth. Maybe that's what Carol was so upset about, and that's why her statement was so low, I guess.
Interesting. It was very painful to hear, and I can't remember if it was at breakfast, but when Bethany said that this is the biggest loss of a friendship she's ever had.
I was going to say, I don't know why they didn't flashback to Jill scenes.
I was thinking, because I'm thinking all season long, I've been thinking part of why this is traumatizing to Bethany is because it's Jill all over again.
Exactly.
And then for her to say that, she seemingly was closer with Carol than with Jill, and that Carol was like a family member to her, that was nuts, because Bethany's friends are her family. I mean, she doesn't really have her family, but she definitely knew Jill longer than she's known Carol.
Yeah. There were a couple times this episode where I was like, they should have cut back to some of the Bethany Jill stuff. Like,
don't
it would have fit
Jill
in so perfectly. Yeah. I've heard that they have an offer ready for full time for Jill. And you know what I really want, Lauren? This is like my dream of dreams. this is my dream of dreams.
Dream.
I want Jill to come back full time, and I want the cast trip next season to be to Mykonos, to Lindsay Lohan's new nightclub, right?
What a crossover moment.
Wouldn't that be amazing to like just get all the girls and then Jill will plan the trip and they'll go to Mykonos, and then it'll be like a crossover Lindsay Lohan's new MTV show about her Mykonos hotspot.
Wow. Where she is seemingly supposed to play the quote-unquote Lisa Vanderpump role. Oh yeah, they're the same. They're the same.
Okay. I'll watch every episode.
I Can't think of a more perfect time for Jill to return. She will have enough time and distance between the immediate loss of Bobby, but we will still see what she's going through. Yeah. I think she'll be very real about it. And Bethany needs a friend. And we saw them make up a little bit this season. Yeah. God, what this season has given us. I mean, I just realized we had a Bethany Jill reunion and now we have the Carol Bethany death. It is mind boggling.
It's so, so good. And I think Jill could be great coming back. I did hear that I heard that the production was concerned that Jill would be too unlikable for a full season. So they weren't sure if they should have her back for part time or not. And that was like the internal debate that I heard. I don't know. This is all rumors. Again, I don't know what people send me as real or not.
Let me throw this out for you. Did you also, during this episode, hearken back to the Scary Island episode?
Ugh, my favorite episodic television of all time.
Of literally all time. literally all time. Yeah. I got so happy when Bethany was on Watch What Happens Live and they asked her favorite moment ever and she said Scary Island. I felt so satisfied and fulfilled because we all feel that way. God, we need another behind the scenes special so badly. I loved when they did the OC special and we saw, for example, that first ever footage of Vicki Gunvalson right after her surgeries and the night with the moon shining on her. I need that. I actually have tweeted at Andy about this. Please give us that for Scary Island. I need all the backstory. How Bethany had recently said that a producer reached out to her and told her for the first time that Bobby was the reason she got on the show. How had that person not reached out before? It is mind-boggling to me. There are
so much stuff we need answers to. Everyone listening, Andy, if you're
Andy, please. I also was thinking about Scary Island because Sonia Morgan, what a journey she's had. Remember in Scary Island, Sonia was the sane one.
Right. She was the one, the normal one, sort of diffusing the situation.
And then she's been all the way to people saying she needs to go home and she needs to stop drinking and she's not invited to the Berkshires. And then now here she is at this breakfast, again, being the sane one.
Also sane, Ramona said, well, Bethany and Carol were sort of arguing and then Dorinda and Lou, Ramona said, I'm sick of this shit.
Write that down.
I just loved it. Speaking of Sonia, she said, everyone's fighting. She said, we're not even one empanada into breakfast.
Oh my God. I loved that she goes, we're getting on the boat for an hour and a half. She was just like, reminder, we're going to spend this much time together today. And can I just say, Sonia Morgan, I was loving all the looks at breakfast. I don't know if I know of a more effortless beauty.
Oh, that she's stunning.
She can put on a Ralph Lauren turtleneck from 1994.
With the tag still on.
With the tag still on it. And she looks like the freaking cover of Vogue
magazine.
She
looks so good. Stunning. She really
iconic.
Stunning. And I don't know if it's because she's not drinking as much this season or something, but she looks fresher, right? So everyone's kind of fighting. And then Dorinda says she's going to walk away because that's what you do, which I thought was too nasty. She said to Lou, I thought that was just a little too nasty. And then Bethany said to Carol, you just don't like me. And I don't know. It's just dark. And Carol at one point said, can we cancel the boat trip? And I screamed at the TV. I said, no, Carol. No.
We cannot. We should not. We will not, Carol.
I know it's coming, but I was still like worried. And what I love about this episode is there was so much buildup to the boat trip because we've sort of hypothesizing about it for so long that it felt like there was a lot of dramatic tension in the air for the entire episode.
It was wonderful. I did not expect this pre-boat trip brunch and all of its gems. I mean, we've been talking about it for how long. It was insane. So Dorinda walks away.
Yeah. And then Dorinda and Lou eventually meet in the hall. They hug it out. And Dorinda says, I felt like you were judging me. And Dorinda clearly, again, does not remember.
So clearly. That's why she kept saying, I felt like you were judging me. And she had no specifics. But again, that moment, you know, when they're off to the side of that balcony hallway, whatever the hell it is in this house of horrors.
Yeah.
Dorinda says, it's like they felt like two high school girls who'd had, you know, a stupid fight over a boy. She's like, well, if she wants to talk. Well, if she wants to talk and make up, does she want to talk?
Right.
And you just knew that they did want to. And then they hug each other so quickly. I was grasping at my own cold heart and feeling it melting because they just reached for each other so fast and wanted to be friends again. And then it took a turn again.
Yeah. And also before they hugged, Luann said, you went ape shit on me. And, and I love Dorinda just said, is that what we're going to focus on? And it's like, yes, that's what we're focusing
100%,
on. 100%,
that is the issue, in
that's
fact.
That's the problem. Dorinda said, I'm sorry, are we really going to do this? What do you want me to do? It's like, I hate when somebody apologizes and then it's like, I said I'm sorry. Like, what more do you want? And it's like, well, no, you don't get to apologize and yell at me.
If your voice gets louder when you're saying I'm sorry, you're not sorry.
It's such a pet peeve of mine. It's like, you have to, if you want to properly apologize, you have to say, I'm sorry. And then you have to grovel. You have to grovel or like suck it in a little bit. You can't say, I'm sorry. What more do you want from me? Like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you can't yell at me.
I did think, I mean, I completely agree with you. But she was hungover. Well, yeah, as we've deduced. I did think, though, that it was going to end there. I didn't expect, I know we'll get to it, but I did not expect Dorinda's breakdown on the island. I did think it was over at that point.
No, and there's more to come, too. Like, I think next week and the week after, we're going to see a lot more of the Dorinda versus Lou.
Not over. How about when Dorinda said, when they hugged again, and she said, quote, let's go away for 21 days together?
Oh, my
together.
God, Lauren, I got chills. I got chills. I wrote that down, too. It was like, and Lou says, yes, let's do it. Like, it's like,
she said, I'll go with
like
you.
They're going to go on to fucking Myrtle Beach.
I mean,
or like some, you know, a little family vacay. It's like,
that was dark to me. There was some, it was a half joke with a lot of truth behind it.
So Bethany and Carol sort of make up and they get ready to go on this little trip to a private island. On their way, though, Bethany says that she has a skinny colon.
Oh my God.
And I don't understand Bethany's health.
She says skinny and torturous.
She said, yeah, because she can't poop.
I've been there. I think we've all been there on a trip. I mean, or maybe not. But it's difficult. And I have to say that what I'll give Bethany is she inspired me to maybe go. I don't know. I don't know anything about my colon. It's wonderful that she knows so much about hers.
I read her diet book, Skinny, or what was it called?
Skinny Colon?
Yeah. She's probably, that's going to be
skinny
next.
Skinny Girl Colon.
That's going to be next. I promise you. She's going to come out with like a skinny girl enema. But I know that I read her diet book and it was all about like bank your food points and stuff. But then again, this goes back to her social media. She's always showing us like this unhealthy food that she's eating, but she's so thin. And so it's like, I don't know. Is she really eating it?
Oh, I forgot. I wanted your opinion on something.
Yeah.
The moment when Carol then, I mean, they would not leave this table. Carol then comes back to the table while Bethany's talking about it.
Right, right. Yeah. No, so good.
What did you think?
I love a moment like that. Because it was like, we all saw that Carol was sitting right there.
The music was phenomenal. That's the thing about this show. They can take us from deep, dark, rehab-filled drama, and then in the beat of a hummingbird's wing, bring us back to a humorous moment with some great editing.
I mean, this episode, we literally had high drama, like high-stake drama, real drama. We had so much comedy. We had action set pieces. Like, it was literally giving us everything.
Unbelievable. And then Sonia says that was the best communication you guys have had all trip. And Carol and Bethany walk away together joking. That is also what is hurting me, is that I keep thinking that they're going to rekindle and they're going to figure it out, and then they don't.
Right, right. So they get on this boat and they cheers with some champagne. I stood up, I laughed out loud, and I screamed cheers. Like, I was so, because it was like, I know what's coming.
It.
I know,
here.
Like, it's coming. So we're there. Yes.
Don't you love seeing Ramona walk into a yacht or into a fan? Like, I think you've said this on your podcast before, that we love seeing them enter a house and pick hotel rooms. I love just seeing Ramona enter something because she loves the fabulous. Mm-hmm. She's like, this is fabulous. Ramona is living her best life.
She's
right
also
now.
Totally on painkillers this entire trip from her foot. Like, she's still
so true.
Like, she's still sort of like in that phase of like, she had 2 Vicodin and she's just pretty happy. Because there's a lot of moments throughout this entire trip where it's like, normal Ramona would be pissed, but this Ramona is, she's just like letting everything go. And it comes out later with the dried crab on the hammock.
Yes. Like, she said that was funny, Luann.
Right.
I believe
that. Two seasons ago, that wouldn't have been, Ramona would have been pissed.
Shocked that she was okay with the way they picked rooms.
That's got to be the Vicodin, allegedly.
Okay.
That's got to be.
Again,
something.
Andy, we need to know.
So Sonia starts getting drunk. And I wondered, like, what's happening with Sonia? Is she only allowed to drink on vacation now? Like, I think there must have been some sort of rule or at least encouragement from producers of like, you're drinking too much. You can only do it a little bit now.
We are seeing it selectively. Did you hear Tinsley say to Luann when they grabbed the champagne, oh, just one sip, Lou?
No.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lauren, what?
Yes, Tinsley said that. Yes, I rewound it.
She said
that. You know, fresh out of rehab, just a little joke. Okay.
Wow.
Wild.
Oh, do you think?
I couldn't tell if she took a sip. They cut away. I
do you think she was
again.
Drinking on camera at all? Or like when, like with off camera, but while they were filming, I mean?
I mean, she's been very interesting about her wording on it, right? I mean, she's said many times, I'm not sure that I'll do this forever. And you know, we know that she didn't. So.
She also made a little Sofia Vergara reference again.
She loves this comparison. I don't see it at all. They don't look alike. She put on a blonde wig.
She's always doing something culturally insensitive and then commenting on it. And Tinsley, speaking of, is really selling this entire trip. Like, it's all going to hell. And Tinsley's like, well, I mean, it's just great. Like, we're having the best time. This boat is fun.
What was driving me nuts is she kept saying, yes, see you guys, this is it. This is the Cartagena I wanted you to see. And it's like, well, then take them there from the beginning. Why are we in this house? She kept saying, finally, you guys, you're seeing what I'm seeing. Yes, like, this was all in your hands. Right. You planned the trip, Tinsley.
I mean, as much as that we need them in that first Cartagena house, I love that they're on this private island. And it's like, they should have probably stayed there from the jump, like in that private island
house,
right?
But they just, you saw them all light up. They love this. Hand them a coconut. I was so excited. I felt I was on the trip.
No, Luann even said, I wish I was with a guy.
And I know.
Luann loves dick.
No shit.
I really love her for
me
it.
Me too. It's like one of my favorite things about Luann and sort of the evolution of Luann. It's like she just really loves a man. She loves a dick. And she's out and open about it. She's like, I wish I was here with a man instead of these women.
And it's been too long, I will say, as much as this trip gave us, it's been too long since we had like a random guy hook up from the New York women, which they give to us a lot. Like Luann and the Pirate, when that happened.
That
I'm
was
ready for that again.
Yes. And so Luann pulls that prank on Ramona. And it was just so, it made me belly laugh, Ramona screaming, but it was still very fun. And then Sonia, of course, is getting drunker and drunker, and she flashes Bethany. So Sonia's like drunk at this point. She flashes her tits at, I don't think I've ever, have I ever said the word tits? I'm like, that sounded so foreign out of my mouth.
Say it for.
It sounded so foreign out of my mouth. But anyway, so Sonia flashes her boobs.
Her breasts.
Her breasts.
Note to self. I don't need to see that.
And she said something, and I rewinded three times, Lauren, and I'm not sure if you got it, but I didn't. I still don't know what it was, but she said something like, Bethany, you may be rich, but I got, did she say nips?
I had no idea, and I'm 100% with you. We needed a closed caption.
Like, I couldn't understand it. I think she said, Bethany, you may be rich, but I got nips. But I'm not sure that that was nips.
She probably has great nips. I think Sonia's body is also amazing.
She had the price tag.
The price
what
tag.
Housewife, Lauren, what housewife is going to go on camera on a vacation with a price tag on their bathing suits? Like, we don't deserve it.
I have said this before. I would watch a live stream of Sonia Morgan in that house. Every time we go in there, it's items on the bed. It's nooks and crannies that I want to see inside of more. You know, we actually had a thing, like I said, I had to miss it, but we did a home tour of Sonia's house, and there was, I was going through the footage because I had to.
Can you send it to me?
When's your birthday?
Research purposes, October 9th.
It's coming. Yeah. There was a dry erase board in her shower with a list on it.
What?
And I rewound the footage and I looked at it and I saw a couple of men's names and I was thinking like, is this, I have to be honest, I questioned. I'm like,
a sex board?
Well, I thought, is this maybe like, you know how in AA people have to like make amends or make lists? That's what I thought.
Oh my God.
And we did not use the footage because it was just so confusing. But then Sonia came into our offices for an interview, and you know, she's so playful and fun. She told me I look chic. My life ended right then and there.
Sure.
And I said, we've just got to ask her about this. You know, maybe it seemed weird, but maybe she's totally casual about it. So we asked her about it and she said, oh yeah, that's my to-do list.
What?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, her mail.
On a massive dry erase board with men's names on it. And then she told us, of course, I said, well, why is it in your shower? And she said she sits in the bathtub and she looks at the dry erase board in the shower and that's her to-do list.
Oh my God, Lauren. And it was just names of men?
It wasn't entirely names of men. I have to be honest,
there were
parts
some
that
men
were hard to
it.
Read. It was smeared, but I did see a man's name on there somewhere. I mean, it was lovely and wonderful. And I could not think more of the world of Sonia Morgan.
Sure.
I would pay and subscribe to just a Nest camera in her home.
That's why
we
need Sonia. Like, we need Sonia on the show because she lightens the mood all the time. And just the fact that she was going to sell her bathing suit on eBay,
and again, Danny, it's a bathing suit. It's not even like you might buy an expensive dress, you wear it to one event, and then you think, well, I'll return it. It has touched her genitalia, gotten wet. She was swimming in it.
Yeah, drunk
in
it. Like, the things that bathing suit must have seen.
I mean, bathing suits come, like women's bathing suits come with that little protective strip for when you're trying it on. She wore it.
Do they really?
The
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's like, so when you're trying it on, okay, you know, we're not going to spread any germs, but Sonia's just got herself all up in there.
Wow.
I was so glad to hear the return of the phrase. We had not heard it from her in a while.
What?
That she's the straw that starts the drink.
Her catchphrase.
Yes.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And they're all having fun, but not Dorinda.
Not Dorinda. What are you doing here without your smile, Dorinda?
Dorinda was just walking around that private island so sad. And then, you know, Bethany eventually confronted her about it. And she even said, I want to have drinks. She said to Bethany, I want to have drinks on vacations like this, but I don't want people to get mad at me. What do I do? And it's like, just don't black out. It's pretty easy.
So much
like,
I don't... What did you think of Bethany going up to Dorinda when she knew she was sad and having that moment with her?
Bethany just wants those moments, right? Like she knows how to produce a show, right? Like Bethany is a good producer.
Interesting. Well, yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay. Why, what did you think?
No, you're enlightening me on that, and maybe I need to take off my rose-colored glasses.
Don't you think that, I think Bethany knows how to produce.
Bethany is such a damaged person. I mean, her parents were never really very stable, and she lost her dad and doesn't have a relationship with her mom. I think you know how people say apathy is like meaner to someone than being mean to them almost? Like it's hard when someone doesn't care about you. And I think that Bethany just loves to have moments of emotional connection. And that is why she went to Dorinda and had that moment. And that's why the Carol thing hurts her so much also, is because Carol is not giving her any emotion.
You know what? You're opening my eyes.
Well, you opened mine.
We're opening each other's eyes. Dorinda said, I want to be Luann's safe place for her. And I thought that was so interesting because I think it is so important to have friends that you always have their back. And usually it's like best friends, you know, my bestie Jill. It's like, I would never do anything. You just always protect them, right? And I think it's so important to have people like that in your life.
I love Dorinda. The things that she said about how she doesn't ever not want to be anybody's safe place, I thought to myself, I have not said things that giving out loud before, probably. It really made me realize she is a really good friend. And I always loved her, but my heart was breaking for her.
Her only downfall, or, I mean, maybe not her only, but her big thing is when she's drinking, she goes, I mean, even when she's not drinking, she goes from 0 to 60. It's like she has no in between. She kind of goes low when she gets upset. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Tinsley and Carol were talking about clothes at the table, and then Bethany said, shoot me?
That was mean.
That was mean, right?
So, I was glad that they flashed back to her shopping trip, because I mean, hypocritical.
Right. It was good of them to flashback, because we needed to, not only that, but Bethany was making fun of Carol taking selfies. And then we literally saw footage of Carol with no cell phone and Bethany taking selfies of herself at the table.
Mm-hmm. No one's really, I will say this.
No one's clean.
As much as I've turned on, nobody's clean.
No one's clean.
Everybody's dirty and wearing a used swimsuit. You know?
And again, I feel bad because I'm always talking sort of smack about Bethany, but I do love Bethany on TV and I don't ever want her gone. And I'm literally drinking her skinnier half-calf cake up right now.
Hey, Daniel. Hey.
Oh, my God.
I'm brand loyal.
How is that for your skinny colon?
I have diarrhea like they all did in Cartagena.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm kidding. With you. The shopping thing felt mean. And then we also flashed back again to the flower arrangement from Scott, which Bethany had a mean reaction to that, too. Although she did own it. She said, I'm jealous.
I love that.
She does own it. To me, the biggest mistake you can make as a reality star is to not own it. You can make mistakes, but you better own up to them. Lisa Serena would say.
You know, someone that did own up to something, it was Ramona. She said, we're all fashionistas here. We're all fashionistas. I loved it.
I almost just spit out my water, which is the skinniest of the skinny girl drinks. It's the water.
And then we also, speaking of Ramona, we had her giving business advice to Tinsley. And I just love the side of Ramona that comes out where she's a businesswoman, because it's like few and far between now. We used to see that all the time back in the day. And now it's like we don't really see businesswoman Ramona that much.
And because we don't know what's happened to it. What has happened to that storyline?
Well, and remember she had that very early on, she had that company where she was like getting clothing or something for like TJ Maxx. Do you remember that?
Oh my God, I can't even recall.
Yeah, she was like flipping so clothing. Yeah.
When I did Luann's Hamptons home tour,
she drinking?
She was not. And this was a while ago. This was right before we found out how Tom had cheated. It was when we were building up and waiting to see what he'd done. So she gave me a tour of her closet. Show me the cheapest thing in there and the most expensive thing. She showed me a cowboy hat that I think she said she'd gotten from, it was either TJ Maxx or Kohl's. And then I found out that she has this video where like she was sort of giving a tour of a TJ Maxx.
Oh yeah, I've posted this video before. She was giving a tour. She used to work for some like sort of local access show, and she was in a TJ Maxx, and you could see her. She's like, I'm Luann and I'm at TJ Maxx. Welcome, let's go on in.
Oh my, I loved her Hamptons house. She
had a cowboy hat. Now all I can picture is Luann starring in a Coyote Ugly sequel.
Yes, please. I love these crossovers you're coming up with today.
All I can picture right now is Luann on a bar serving drinks. Not drinking, but serving drinks. I would love it. I'm still waiting for that Cody Ugly too.
And how about how Ramona was just berating Tinsley? I mean, that was like a flashback to the real Ramona. She's just, Tinsley, I'm talking about now, right now, Tinsley, right now.
But Tinsley, also, I just want to be a wifey.
I know. Yeah. And they're broken up now, right?
I don't know. I hear differing reports. Like, I feel like every week they're like, they're back together.
I will say they seem like a good fit. He seems like the kind of guy who's always wanted to be with a beautiful blonde, and she wants to be taken care of, and he sends her those funeral arrangement flowers.
I agree. Wait, Lauren, we have to talk about something. So we went to the Luann show, the hashtag Countess and Friends.
Oh, yes.
And Sonia and Lou were rehearsing in Cartagena, and I laughed out loud so much. I love that Luann said to Sonia, you can do whatever lines you want, no pressure. And then she said, do you know how to beatbox? And I was like, what the fuck? you could do whatever lines you want. Like, what kind of, I know we saw the show, but it was like, I want them to at least put a little effort into it. Like, you shouldn't have a scripted show where you're like, do whatever you want.
What we were witnessing is someone putting on a variety show who has never done it before. Then she started asking everyone, and I thought, Luann, come on. I mean, you're sober in this moment. Do you think any of them know how to beatbox? I would have loved
what if was someone, that, though? Well, do you know how that? To beatbox? Like, what the fuck?
And why did they need to beatbox? And then they all just sort of started going, boom, boom, boom. She's like, perfect.
Like, literally the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. We see so much on this show that we just sort of, blaze past it.
There's too much to really process.
But it's like, wait a minute. Like, we're seeing these women rehearse for their variety show or their jazz show. And it's like, literally, Sonia, what do you want to do on the show? Just say whatever lines you want. Should we beatbox? What the fuck?
When we were at that show, there were two people who I felt had come there just as regulars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they looked so frustrated that they'd paid for that experience. I mean, we all loved it, but
we were texting before I got there. You were there, and you're like, you have to go through a parking garage. I should find my text thread with you. It's through a parking garage,
which seems perfect.
But seeing them rehearse for it was just so fantastic. And then so then they have to leave the island. So we're getting to the boat trip footage, and
I needed to understand the logistics of that, by the way. Why not just stay there and ride out the storm?
3:15. It was 3:15 p.m. You're right. Why didn't they just stay there?
I would have been annoyed as well. They were having a great time.
I know. Ramona kept saying, it's fine. We don't have to leave now. And I was just wait. I can't wait to see this.
Ramona would have died on that island. I know. Wait, not on the boat, though.
I wonder how that works. Did they have to leave? Could they have stayed?
When Margarita, the house manager, came in and told them that, I got angry with her, but also excited because I knew what was to come.
Right. Oh, my God. There was so much tension. I was loving it. The hairs were sticking up. So it's 3:15. They get on this boat. And then, Lauren, it all happened. Sheena Marie says, it's all happening. The boat starts going back and forth. We see Sonia peed on her swimsuit that she's probably sold to someone.
Somebody got the swimsuit that she broke the seal in. She
literally peed on that swimsuit with a tag on. I wonder if she sold it. That's the real question from this episode. Did she sell it or not?
We're going to have to tweet at her. I think she'd tell us.
I know. I think she'd tell us. And so she's peeing all over the place. Carol's throwing up. I mean, what a nightmare.
And Bethany's holding her hair, which again...
That made me sad. Lauren, that made me sad.
Because I wanted them to... I'm like, yes, right. Okay, can the boat trip, can a near-death experience reunite you? They are screaming. Sonia is peeing. Ramona is crying. They're clutching
each
other.
Ramona's sort of crying, laughing. She was laughing a little bit too.
Well, the thing is, I sort of was watching this, and as we said, we've hypothesized, we've wondered. I didn't realize until I witnessed it, they're all still so drunk at this point.
Right.
They are irrational.
Sonia especially.
When Sonia was yelling at Tinsley, no, this is not normal. This isn't normal. Tinsley's like, it is normal. This is how it is in Carnegie.
I know. Tinsley.
Why has Tinsley been there 10 times? She never explained it.
No, it doesn't. Well, she was like, oh, I went to some weddings here. It's like, why do you know so many people that got married there?
Right. I mean, based on what we know about her mother, Dale, I don't think that Dale would want to frequent.
Yeah, it was just seeing the sight of Carol and Bethany. That really got to me because it was like, this is literally the darkest moments that they don't even know that's being filmed. Mm-hmm. And she's helping Carol. And it just made me sad that their friendship.
Did you hear Tinsley yell at Sonia? Because Sonia said, this is normal for her, but I have a daughter. And Tinsley yelled, it's not about having a child. I have a dog.
Oh, Tinsley.
Oh, Tinsley.
The Tinsley. I know. That's Tins.
That's the little Tins.
That's so Tins.
You got that dog in your hotel and your flowers.
We talked about this before we were recording. There wasn't a lot of footage from this, right?
I have to say that I was frustrated. I
was a little disappointed, but then, I don't know if you caught this, but there was a little cell phone footage from Bethany. And I'm certain that while this was happening, the cameras went down, I'm certain, 100% certain that Bethany pulled out her phone and started filming for the show.
Because she's a producer, just as when she filmed herself iPhone crying and walking through her empty apartment.
That's what I was just going to say, when that empty apartment footage, yes. Which that was maybe some of the darkest footage we've ever seen.
Dark.
Blackened. So I know, and we saw a little bit on the boat trip, there was footage from a cell phone, and it was of Bethany, so I'm sure it was hers. I rewound it a few times because I was like, where is this footage coming from?
I have to say, I think that they said they had to put the cameras down because it wasn't safe, but I think that perhaps it's a liability issue that they can't show us the footage. I'm purely theorizing here. But first of all, you know Bethany pulled out her phone. Second of all, I think the producers would have. I think they would have said, maybe even if it's not safe to be standing holding a camera, I'm going to pull out my phone, flip it horizontally, and get something here. I mean, they've been doing the show for a long time.
There has to be more footage that we haven't seen. There has to be. I think there has to be cell phone footage. This not from Lou, because Lou didn't have her cell phone.
Why did they show us that?
I know. I was thinking
about that was going to come back somehow.
Right. I was thinking that same thing. I'm like, this has to be an important plot point.
Were they just trying to emphasize how quickly they need to escape that tiny, tiny island? Also, the definition of island in Colombia, very different than anywhere else.
Loose.
It's one piece of land big enough for one loose. Bedroom house, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But so there has to be more footage from this trip that we're not seeing. Where is it? And you mentioned liability. And that was one of the things that I heard before this season even started airing, was that the girls were upset with the safety on the boat. Like, there were not enough life jackets, which they did mention. There was only one life jacket. And I had heard that they didn't want to film afterwards, but they didn't end up filming
after
the boat trip.
Well, it was interesting that they cut and said 17 hours later, so that would explain maybe there was a gap where they said, no, I'm
But then they flashed back again to the dinner. They said when they got back. So that's why I was confused, because I really did hear that the girls were very upset with the boat trip with Bravo. And I had heard that they had refused to continue filming when they got back.
Well, I have to say, I don't know why they'd be I completely believe you. I just don't know why. Maybe they were just being irrational, because why be upset with Bravo? I mean, this was definitely in the hands of this boat. They were very happy to be on the yacht at first. It was a pretty big boat. Right. It was nuts how much it was rocking around.
But they also said it was like not enough life jackets.
That's terrible.
The anchor was like an old style anchor. It was like the rope one.
Danny, can we speak about Luann saying that the captain showed up with two swords?
Oh my God, like a pirate, she said. And you know she got
like
horny when she said that.
Yes. So we know how Luann feels about a pirate, Exile La France.
Which I had predicted this weeks ago, because I did hear it. This was one of the things that was true that I heard, was that it was something about the anchor being rope.
There were a lot of factors that I was glad to have had the light shed, because the anchor thing I didn't fully understand. The life jackets thing was nuts. I get that. If you're really scared, you at least want to put on a life jacket and think, okay, I'm going to be okay. And then the smoke happened, and it was
the smoke alarms.
They were trying
to
pull the anchor in, and then Luann explaining, what a montage, what editing when they cut to each of them to tell the story.
Oh my God, that was fantastic. And also right before that, when the black screen with the text that said, due to rough waters, production stopped filming. I mean, that was one of the most riveting moments of TV of all time.
There is a cut to black. Oh my God. As I have rewatched Scary Island many times, I will be rewatching this episode.
Yeah, I mean, and then it goes 17 hours later. It was so dramatic. And they broke the fourth wall for just a sec. When they were telling the story about what was going on, you know, they talked about the swords, the anchor was, Luann even said they had to stop filming because it was unsafe. And it was like, they rarely break the fourth wall. And to hear her say they had to stop filming us, that was like, oh my God, I was goosebumps.
You were shaken. When she said, and also it helped me to understand when she said that the boat like wasn't moving because they were trying to pull the anchor up or rev it or something.
I mean, almost capsized.
Yes.
Yeah. And Tinsley the whole time was like, they cut to her and she's like, I thought it was fine.
I'm a pro here in Cartagena. This is how it goes.
Tinsley was like, dying on that hill. She was like,
she's like, I'm not going to be wrong about this trip. I did everything right, including how we picked the rooms.
And Carol said that she was in war zones and said this was worse. But I've heard that Carol's stories about being in war zones are exaggerated. I don't know that that's true, but I've heard that.
Well, to hear her say that did shake me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm literally saying, who do you think was the most afraid for her life?
Sonia, because she was drunkest, right? She was most drunk.
I thought that we would see more dramatic footage of Ramona.
Right. Ramona was on those painkillers, so she was fine.
Everyone was in a different
like I said, Ramona was sort of laughing. Like they tried to make it seem like Ramona was really freaking out, but you could see, if you rewind it back, she was laughing a little bit. And so I think she was definitely on Vicodin.
When we saw Luann go down and Bethany was like, don't stop walking around. Every time Luann falls, it's a lot to me, because she's a tall person. Right, she topple over.
She tops over.
A tree.
Fucking Humpty Dumpty.
It's alarming. I get concerned. I'm with them on this. You've had a couple drinks. You're on this big boat. You've already been rushed off the island. You can't even find your cell phone. And then there are no life jackets.
And they all have diarrhea.
And they all are...
They're shitting everything, which it ended
like this.
I know that we go from like this high, heavy drama action, everything. And then it's like revealed that they all have diarrhea except for Bethany and Tinsley.
I mean, you know, Bethany needed to win.
I know.
She needed something. She needed to not be the one with diarrhea.
The best moment when they're all sitting at that sort of like breakfast table in that in that shitty hotel.
Oh my God, house. That house.
Like, all of a sudden it cuts to Luann going to that outdoor bathroom. It's just, I laughed so hard.
And Tinsley still, again, dying on that hill. She was like, I'm hungover, but I'm fine.
I'm fine.
And that, again, embodies what you were talking about earlier, that these women can drink and
they
be
They can do
fine.
It all. I know Bethany said, she said, we laughed, we cried, we shit. That's when Bethany's funniest, and when she gives like a good... She gives a good little sound bite.
Puts it in a little bit of perspective. Yeah. It is, when you think about it, we have gone from this expensive yacht, private island trip, to these women just talking about the fact that they can't control their bowel movements. I know. They give us everything.
Wait, there's one thing we have to get to before we wrap this up. So there were skid marks on the floor. Like, what did that happen?
Was that?
Note to self. I don't need to see that.
I don't know. Like, what? I didn't understand that. I was like, how did... Like, skid marks get on the floor.
Do you think that that's what it really was?
Well, I don't know, but then, you know, they mentioned they all had diarrhea, and then as they're in the car, like, so they're still mic'd, but they're not on camera, and we hear Luann says, I left them with the ultimate gift, okay? This is darker than that boat trip. This is honestly darker than their near-death experience.
This is poop brown.
Literally, Lou shit the bed. Like, and then the last shot of the episode is the cleaning women cleaning the bed. Lou shit the bed and left it? Like, what?
Again, needed to rewatch it to understand, is this real? That woman was scrubbing the mattress.
Like, how do we just go past this so quickly? It's like
too much content.
A woman, a housewife, literally shit the bed. And she admitted it on camera. And that's just like an end throwaway. It's like
That's the funny little, as we call it on Entertainment Tonight, the goodbyes. That's
the goodbyes. Just the funny, it's like, little. Lou shit the bed. See you next week.
Okay. Coming up next on The Real Housewives. Like, next time. It was mind boggling. She wasn't just stripping the sheets, Danny.
She was scrubbing that mattress. And the fact that they left producers behind to get footage of this woman cleaning the bed.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
They wrapped it up with such a bow. We saw Ramona again saying that she needed help with her bags. And then, Luann
admitting it was her Luann's jinx moment, like she shit the bed. Like, her,
the mic was still on. She coughed. She did it. She killed them all.
I left him with the ultimate gift. Wow, their Luann's jinx moment.
What an episode.
And then what an episode. And then next week it said, you know, more Dorinda versus Luann, and then they all have solid shits for the first time. That was what's to come.
How can there be another marathon party, Danny? We're going to see Carol celebrating.
Oh, another marathon party. I know.
Oh my. I'm surprised that the Luann Dorinda thing hasn't died yet.
There's something with the dress. I've said this before. What, there's something with the dress? No, you know, when they went dress shopping for the Countess and Friends, there's something with that Giovanni's or Gianni's or something. Mm-hmm. There's something that happens there. I don't know what exactly, but we'll see.
Okay. Anyway, that Luann pooped in one of the dresses and then now there's a dry cleaning issue.
I left him the ultimate gift.
John the dry cleaner will return. I hope.
They need to send that mattress to John. Oh my God, it was so good. And, you know, it was fantastic. We don't have time to get into too much of Orange County, but I do want to just wrap this up by saying that this week on Orange County was great. The girls are back in Andalus. They all got wasted.
Thank God.
Andalus is the place to save this, right? Like, they're saving the franchise by sending them to Andalus.
They are really satisfying me so far this season. They're checking so many boxes. I think, like New York, Orange County has older women who have been through real things, who talk about those real things, and who know how to party. That's what we need out of the housewives. Right. And it's felt very satisfying to see Vicky and Tamara and Shannon move on, just as satisfying as it was for Shannon to get that ring off her finger in the premiere.
Oh yeah, it was so good. They're rebuilding. I'm not entirely sold on Orange County this season, but I'm like, the last episode on Andalus, I was like, I love this. I'm here for it.
So this is what you want.
We're still early on in the season, but I'm not giving up on it yet.
What is giving you the most hope?
I mean, seeing them drunk together was fantastic. I love the Vicky versus Kelly dynamic. I think is new and fresh. We haven't seen Vicky versus Kelly really.
Surprising.
Yeah, and in following their stories now in the press, it's like Vicky's still double dating with Kelly's ex-husband.
I love single Kelly.
I do too. So I like all of that. I like seeing these women newly divorced for the first time, because I just think it's, I mean, aside from Housewives, we don't see women over 50 dealing with divorce on TV very much. So it's like nice to see, like it's refreshing. So I'm liking it. And of course the ropes course I loved. I thought it was like the best.
Comedy gold.
Comedy gold.
People have been down on Orange County. There was so much talk that Vicky would maybe even leave after last season, which I'm sorry, but I just didn't ever believe was going to happen. Bravo won't let that happen. The OG of the OC.
I'd rather Tamara leave.
interesting.
I would. I'm not a huge Tamara fan. I'm not.
Mm.
I don't know. She just bugs me a little bit. I've never been a lot of it seems too forced for me. Mm. I don't know. And then even with the Eddie stuff, it's like, I know Eddie's going through some health issues, but it's too much screen time for Eddie. And again, I want him to be safe.
Sure.
I want him to live. I just don't want to see it.
I'm not and super
Tamara,
impressed in that.
This past episode, Tamara was like naked a lot. And I feel like she's always like just being naked.
She loves
I don't
her
know.
Bot
it's
right
a lot.
Now.
She loves her but bot. And she has the best spot ever.
Oh, the best spot. I think that OC has so much more to work with.
Totally.
Then
Beverly
Hills.
Yeah.
There's not.
I mean, this past week when Shannon was saying goodbye to her girls, she said adios putas. I was like, that was enough for like a full episode. Like that would have been enough for me for just that episode. But then we got them so blackout drunk. We got Tamara breaking her foot. It was fantastic. So I'm liking Orange County. It's much better than Beverly Hills. Much, much better.
Content,
and it's way better than Orange County was last season. And the new girls, I'm not sold on them yet, but they're sort of folding them in slowly. So, you know.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
We'll see. Lauren, please tell me, gosh, we talked forever about that.
I'm so sorry.
I have like all these questions for you. I'm like, oh my God, we talked forever. Let me see.
You don't have to ask me.
No, I have a couple that I want to get to. We'll make them like lightning round.
Rapid fire. Love it.
But you don't have to go too fast, but just as fast as you want to. Who's been your favorite interview that you've ever done? Because you do interviews with all sorts of stars for Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, Richard Gere.
Really?
Richard Gere.
He's such a star.
Oh my God. The man is so charming, and Pretty Woman is, I know as cheesy as it is, it's like my favorite movie. Uh-huh. And he just was everything I wanted to be: playful, smart, witty.
And still a stud. He's like really, he's older, but he's still a stud.
You know what he told me? He hasn't eaten meat since he was 27 years old.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing away my lunch meat as soon
Bye.
As you leave here.
Yes. So Richard Gere was just a dream.
You're a huge Bachelor. What's the
Human?
Word? I was going to say expert, but yes.
Oh, thank you.
I don't watch The Bachelor regularly, but everyone writes in, they're like, do you watch The Bachelor? Whatever. I've watched bits and pieces and I've watched seasons here or there. What do you say to people who don't watch The Bachelor? Like, what would you say to them to get them involved in The Bachelor and to start watching? Or would you not recommend watching it?
Oh, no. I mean, I would, of course. I think my first thing is always escapism. And I think just like Housewives, Bachelor will give you things like an amazing trip somewhere, a glamorous moment and date. You get different casts of characters, some funny, some borderline psychotic. So it gives you many of the elements of Housewives, Danny. So I do think that you'd love it for that reason.
I do always... When the times that I've have gotten into it, I like it a lot. I love it, but it's just the commitment because I watch so many of these Bravo shows.
Oh,
I feel
yes.
like I don't have the time to catch up, and then I'll get like a week behind and I'm overwhelmed because it's like I'll have like 3 2-hour episodes. I'm like, I just can't do it.
100%. I sacrifice working out. I sacrifice sleep. These shows are killing me, but I'm loving it.
So good. What's going on The Bachelor right now? Is there any like
Bachelor finale is next week?
Yeah.
And it has come down to two guys who are very, very emotionally invested in this woman.
Who do you want to win?
Who do I want to win?
Or end up in love?
I think I really like Blake. It's down to Blake and Garrett. I really like Blake. I think he's a really good guy and that he's been through a lot of things, just like The Bachelorette Becca has. They've both been through like very real loss and trauma, which has made them wiser than their years. So I really like him, but I would also like him as a possible Bachelor candidate because he's very emotive. And in the lead, you need somebody who is able to express their emotions and give opinions on things. So I'm torn. Also, the other contestant, Garrett, has been kind of clouded by this Instagram scandal where someone found that he'd been liking a lot of very controversial memes on Instagram, like literally double tapping. So we need to hear from Garrett on that. It's clouded him.
Like what kind of controversial, like political stuff or what?
Some things that people take as maybe derogatory to women. Oh. Highly conservative, not that that's necessarily wrong, but
just some ones that are a little aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I won't start watching, but
it's okay. I know, but here's the thing, and I've said this, it is a lot to keep up with in the past couple of years because we get a new housewife maybe once every few seasons. With Bachelor, you get a new crop of 30 people every couple of months, and Instagram has made them all maintain this longevity of fame. The 15 minutes hath stretched. So it's quite a lot to keep up with. Yeah. Quite a lot.
Switching gears, who would you, if you were working with People Magazine, who would you say is the sexiest man alive? Who would be your choice?
Who would be my choice?
You got to choose.
Sexiest man alive. Ooh, what a great question. I'm here for Jason Momoa.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Aquaman. You know why?
Yeah.
Aquaman.
Have you interviewed him before?
I never have. I watched Game of Thrones when it first came on, and then I stopped watching it when his character, spoiler alert, died because I loved his character so much. And then I learned that, oh, everybody dies. And so then I watched literally earlier this year, I watched the entire series in 2 weeks. I didn't sleep and I was like talking to dragons at work, which was very dangerous. But he is such a family guy as well. I mean, the way he speaks about Lisa Bonet and how he fell in love with her, like at first sight, and he'd always crushed on her, and the way he's so close with her and Lenny Kravitz's daughter, Zoe Kravitz, they have their own kids together. He always talks about his Ohana, his family.
Swoon-worthy. Last question. What's your favorite Mariah Carey song? I ask everyone that.
Oh my God. I mean, I can bop with Dream Lover.
Oh, so good.
It's
such a classic.
So boppy. Yeah. Sorry 100%. For being typical.
No, that's a great answer. Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, thank you. I'm at Lauren Zima. I reserve those handles early to keep it easy.
Right.
So please, yes, follow me on Instagram and Twitter. And please message me anytime because just as we've done today, I just love to talk about Bravo and The Bachelor all day long.
Yes, and I could talk to you forever. We went so long today, but I love it. I love you so much. I'm so glad you were here and this was so fun. Thank you. Anything else we want to plug? Anything?
No, I just love that so far in our friendship, everything we've done is iconic because we have been to Countess Luann's show and then we've done your podcast. So we've only done iconic things. So this has set the bar.
What a delight, Lauren. Thank you so much for coming by. Bye, guys. Follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook. It's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Please support the podcast by joining the Patreon. It's patreon.com/everythingiconic. And for $4 or more, you get access to all the bonus episodes. We're recapping season 2 of Roni right now. And again, you just help support us. Thank you to Samsung Technologies for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you to Whitney for producing. I love you guys so much. Bye.